Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbara, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to podcast, I'm going to be diving into the top 10 questions that you need to ask before you're buying that next multifamily. Let's just jump right in because this is such an important topic. We're talking about due diligence. And as Tony Robbins says, the better the questions that you ask, the better the answers you're going to get. And it's very challenging when you're starting off as a beginning investor. I was there. You always have these preconceived notions going into a deal and thinking that the seller wants the highest price, the seller wants this. You honestly don't know until you start asking these questions. And when I think about questions, you want to really ask what we call empowering questions. An empowering question is an open-ended, thought-provoking question. What? How? These are questions that, you know, elicit a response that isn't just a yes or no answer. Because if you're getting yes or no, they're really short, you're not getting a lot of information. So on the Jake and Gino website, I have a blog, Empowering Questions. Read it because it's really, really important. But in this one, let's talk about specifically multifamily questions. Now, the student community has closed over 70,000 units. They've done over $5 billion in transactions. They've raised over $400 million. So these questions have helped them close more deals. And more importantly, move on to the next one. Remember, we don't lack motivation. We lack clarity or focus. Once you have that clarity and the focus, you're able to look at more deals. That's the real challenge, trying to look as many deals as possible till you find that one that you want to close on. Now, number one, very important. Why are you selling, Mr. or Mrs. Seller? Why is it that you're selling? There's a variety of reasons. Understand what their motivation is. Because in real estate, if there's no motivation on the seller's part, guess what? You're not getting a deal. So you may move on right then and there. Oh, I'm just thinking about it. Well, great. Take a look at the numbers. See if they work. If they're really not interested in selling, they're just trying to fish. There's really no deal to be made there. But what I would say, why are they selling? Some of the red flags you may see that are good for you as the buyer. Well, they're doing a 1031. Well, they're burned out, the traditional mom and pop. Well, they can't scale because they don't know how to. They have no systems. They have violations. They can't cure the violations because it costs them too much money. They bought it wrong. They're moving out of market, going to a different area. They didn't think multifamily was passive. Those are all good answers you're looking for. But the important thing is to ask the question and then let them answer it. And if you can't speak directly to the seller, talk to the broker, ask the broker these questions and try to get as much information because it's a really important question. Now, 1.1, I would ask, do they have any other deals? And that's important because if you're working on a deal right now, all of a sudden they have another deal in the hopper. Well, guess what? You may go a little bit softer on this first one. You may want to execute and do a really good job because they have other deals in the future. I've had students who have closed one deal with the seller and then all of a sudden the next 2 or 3 years, they've closed 400 and 500 units from that same seller. Really important. Understand their motivation. Like I said, you may be saying to yourself, I think they want the highest price. They may just want ease of execution. They may not want their tenants to know that they're selling the property. They may not want their employees to know that they're selling the property. They may have a bad partnership. You don't know until you ask. And one important thing, you ask and you be quiet. God gave us one of these and two of these for a reason. You need to listen a lot more than you're speaking. Now, the next one, the financial numbers. The property looks great. The biggest mistake that I made early on in my career, even before I met Jake, I used to fall in love with these properties. Oh, I love this property. It looks beautiful. It's going to be a trophy property. Great, Gino. Did you know the numbers? Nope. Didn't know the numbers. I had to join a mentorship program myself years and years ago to learn how to underwrite. So the financial numbers you need a T12, trailing 12 months of income and expenses, or a T6, or at least at the very least a T3, start gathering that financial information because that's really important. That's where I made my biggest mistakes early on, not understanding the financial numbers. Now, the third one is occupancy. What's the occupancy rate of the property? And that will tell you a lot about the property. You know, occupancy rates over the last couple of years, that hasn't been the problem in multifamily. You know, 95, 96% averaging. Well, if you come across a property that's occupied at 80%, what's going on there? I don't really know, but you need to ask the question. There's two types of occupancies, really important for those that are starting out beginners. There's physical occupancy. Hey, I'm physically in the unit. So if you have 10 units and you have 10 of them are physically occupied, that means you have 100% physical occupancy. But let's say if two of them are not paying, that means you have 80% or 8 out of 10 economically occupied. That's a very important distinction to understand, because when you take that property over, guess what? You're taking over that delinquency. So understand what's going on with occupancy. Is occupancy rising? Is occupancy falling? Where has it been historically? And more importantly, understand the occupancy in the market you're in, because an occupancy point, let's say you're in Knoxville, could be 93%. You're looking at another market that's 95%. You may be saying to yourself, well, Knoxville should be at 95. Hold on, not really. Understand what it is in your market. Now, the next one, this is one that really got us early on, the lease agreements. Make sure that you understand what the lease agreements are. Get the leases and read them. We've had properties where we've taken these properties over, the first one, and you have friends and family members in there at an extended lease for $500 when the lease is going, should be $800, $900. Understand who's in the properties. And if you catch it early on, you can at least negotiate out of that loan, of that deal. And if not, you can always ask for what we call a concession. Because if Mary, the cousin, is going to be in that property for the next year and she's only paying $400 when rent should really be $800, well, Mary's getting a break. That's going to hurt your NOI in the short term. Understand all of them. What I would do right now, go to jakeandgino.com/webinar. Sign up for our monthly webinar. We talk about all these problems and all these opportunities on the webinar. This month, we're going to be talking about how do you actually go out and buy a deal in this market. We're going to talk about our very first deal that we did years ago. The markets are very similar. Now, let's get back. The next one, number five, CapEx repairs. And this has been a contentious point over the last few years. When you're buying assets that are cheaper back in the earlier part of the cycle in 2013, 2014, 2015, you could assume the CapEx, the after repair value, still made sense. Now there's something that we call the CapEx tsunami that's going on. Make sure that when you're buying this property that you're at least budgeted. I'm not saying that you don't have to do CapEx, but make sure you understand that you're budgeting for all these big capital expenditure items like the roofs, like the air conditioning units, like the driveways, like the siding, all of these big CapEx repairs, and ask them what CapEx repairs have they done on the property. Understand what they've done. Really important. This next one, number six, utilities and operating expenses. Understand the utilities in the market, because this has become a really important point over the last few years. When we took properties over back in 2012 and 13 and 14, water was not as big of a line item as it is now. Electric was not as big of a line item, and gas was not as big of a line item as it is now. And it's really important to understand where the utilities are. If you're buying these older properties in the 1960s and 1970s, guess what? Those properties are probably going to have leaks. There may be some value embedded in that. If you're seeing water bills, 10, 9, 8, 10,000 a month, and you're seeing them go on, and all of a sudden you see a spike to 12 and 13,000 a month, that may be the opportunity. You may be able to fix those leaks and get that utility usage down and actually add money to the NOI. So understand what the utility and the OPEX is on the property. Really important. The next one, number seven, rent roll. Get an updated rent roll. And what you want is you want what rent they're collecting, what they want to project as market rent, to see if that's actually accurate, because you're going to do your own rent roll analysis and rent comps, but also the delinquencies. You want to see how many people are paying. And in that rent roll, you're going to see month to month. You're going to see when leases start, because obviously, if you say you have 10 units and leases are starting, six of them are starting in June of that year. Well, we have what you call lease exposure. Very, very important to understand that. At least going in, you can at least plan that. You may not be able to change it, but you can plan it. Understanding the rent roll is really important to see what the delinquencies are. Because, you know, rule of thumb, if a resident hasn't paid and they're 60 days over, guess what? They're not going to pay. It's really hard for them to actually catch up. You're probably going to have an eviction, and you're going to lose that money, and you lose another 30 plus days to get them out. In certain states, California, maybe 2 years. Don't know where you are. But in Tennessee, within 30 to 60 days, you can probably have them out evicted. There's going to be damage. You're going to have time down. And this is really important in multifamily. I want you to understand this, because I don't think many people talk about it. But in multifamily, what you're doing is you're selling time. It's almost like an airplane. Once that airplane lifts off and gets into the sky, guess what? You can't sell any more seats. It's the same with multifamily. If this apartment is empty on January 1st and it's still empty on the 31st, you lost that entire month's of revenue. You can't get it back. We're selling time. You want to get these assets rented up as quickly as possible to generate that revenue as quickly as possible. So if you have a lot of people who are on evictions or delinquencies, you need to know that going in so you can plan accordingly. Number eight, tenant profiles, which is part of the rent roll. There's a thing that people use in multifamily property managers. It's called a corporate override. And what do I mean by that? Well, you're selling this property, you're the seller, you have bad occupancy. What you need to do is you need to get that occupancy up. So you're putting everybody in. So what you're doing is you're overriding what your basic numbers are. If it's three times the rent roll, all of a sudden, you know what? They've got a heartbeat. I'm going to let them in. You're overriding what your numbers are supposed to be. Let's say credit scores are at 600. Well, you're letting anyone in with a 450 or 500. Understand what they're doing right now. It's really important. And you'll see the quality, and it, you may even catch it on the rent roll. If they've been doing this for 6 months or 8 months, you may see a lot of delinquencies. So understand what their tenant profiles are and if they're doing any corporate overrides. The other thing is you want to see if there's any sexual offenders on the property. You want to understand what the tenant profiles are, because when you take that property over, that lease is a binding agreement, binding document. Really, really important to understand that. Number nine, the property management company. If you're not what we call vertically integrated and managing your own properties, you need to understand, more importantly, the property that's managing it on the property management company, who's your property management company managing that property, and more importantly, going out there and finding out other property management companies and start, I would have to go out there and start talking to these other property management companies and doing interviews. Two questions you can ask property management companies: who would you hire in this market? Property management companies are going to give you a couple of different answers. Well, I think I should. Then ask the question, who should you not hire? And it'll be really funny to see that those property management companies, they may say one or two of their competitors in the market. So that'll give you a lot of information of who to stay away from. But you need to understand the property management company that you're working with. Go out there and maybe do a secret shopper. Go out and take a look at what other properties that they're out there managing. Call up, see what their systems look like. Dive into the other properties that they have. Property management company is one of the most important partners along with the banks. The banks are giving you 60, 70, 80% of what you need for the money. So they're really huge partners, but it's buy right, finance right, and manage right. The manage right is that wheel that's in constant motion. So if you can't pull through the manage right part of the asset, guess what? You're not going to make money in this business. Oh, it's great. Hey, I make money in the buy. Not really. You make money on the sell when you exit the asset through either a refi or a sale. You get the big chunk of equity. You're making a little money cash flow, but that big refi, the big sale comes through managing the property properly. So you need to work with that property management company and see if they're a good fit for you. And number 10, past issues or any disclosures. Are there any violations? I would ask for what we call loss runs. Have there been any claims on insurance for the last 3 to 5 years? That's what a loss run is. You want to see if there's been fires. You want to see if there's been thefts, if there's been murders on the property. Let them disclose anything. You have to do a little bit of digging. What I would do here is just go to Google, start researching the property, go to their website, go to Google reviews, go to apartments.com and start doing a history on the property. And more importantly, when you're doing that, that past the disclosures, that number 10, let me give you 10.1. What I would ask or what you should know about that property, really, really important. Know the market, know the city, know the area, know the median income of that market. That will tell you a lot. If you're trying to get three times the income and you want $1,000 a month, but the median income is only $28,000, that means you need $36,000 to get in that $1,000 a month in rental. You're not going to be able to do that. So understand what the median income is and see if you can raise rents to where you need to go. And not even talk about raising rents, but median income areas that are higher, they're a little bit easier to manage. So it's not always about pushing rents. It's about really delivering a quality experience to the resident base you want to work for. Some people love to work in those areas that are, you know, we call the D areas. They thrive in those areas. They like those areas. We're not equipped to do that. Some area people like to work with Section 8 housing. We don't have the model to do that because it's a totally different type of model where you need to work with a lot of paperwork. You need to work with the government. You need to be set up that way. We work with market-based rentals. So what we like to do is we like to look at areas that have an immediate income of around $50,000. That's what we like to do. And I guess another question, 10.2, which is really important, and this has been going on a lot in coastal areas and other areas, see if there's flood zones. See if your property is in a flood zone. And is that going to stop you from buying that property? I don't think it should. Just have to put that number into the underwriting. We tend to stay away from properties with, you know, massive flood zones. We've had a property that had a little piece of one of the buildings in a flood zone. We were able to take care of that. Premiums went up a little bit, but not a big deal. Now, listen, these are 10 questions. These are only 10 of the questions, but this is really important in the buy right. We talked a little bit about the manage right with property management, but this is how you're getting your buy right really set up and really honed in to what you need to do. Remember, it's buy right, finance right, manage right. October 14th and 15th, we are having the financial vacation for smart people. It's called Multifamily Mastery 6. Come on out. We're going to be talking about the buy right. We have Chris Voss there. We have Brad Lee. He's going to talk about branding out there. We're going to have Chad Wright and Navy SEAL. We're going to have Jake and Gino and Jake and Gino's team. We're going to have Phil McKernan, who's going to be talking about relationships, because relationships is great. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to create money to be able to have those relationships, to be able to work on our family and spend more time and get the autonomy. So would it be an event without having somebody talk about those empowering relationships that you can create? I don't think so. I want to see you there October 14th and 15th at the Gaylord Palms. And as my partner Jake likes to say, real guys doing real deals. Thanks, everyone. I'll see you next week.